Next case is United States v. Swisher. Mr. Griffin, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the appellant? And Major White, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government? Very well. Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Judge Olson, and may it please the Court. My name is Marshall Griffin, and I, along with my co-counsel, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Neely, have the honor of representing the appellant in this case, Lance Corporal Sean Swisher. Chief Judge, I respectfully request 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of the Court, this case is about fairness. It's about ensuring that members of the military have the appropriate appellate review of their sentences pursuant to the law. We're asking this Court to remand this case back to the Navy and Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals so that that obligatory review may happen. This function is reserved to the Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals, and it serves a very important function to substitute for sentencing guidelines and other protections that you might find in other forum to ensure that sentences are appropriate. I'd like to walk the Court through a couple of general rules and then the standard that exists at the Courts of Criminal Appeals and then the standard of review that exists at this Court, and I'd like to explain why we believe that this case would be successful if remanded.
Mr. Griffin, if I may, I think one of the first things you're going to be addressing is probably exactly on point in terms of Bakunin, where we said that CCA has, quote, broad latitude in deciding whether cases are closely related. Here, quite obviously, the facts of the underlying crime are closely related. But when you're looking at the case in terms of the charges, the forum, the fact finder, the trial result, the cooperation on the part of the civilian co-actor, why was this an abuse of discretion for the CCA to say that these were not closely related cases?
Thank you, Your Honor. So in the footnote where they address this, the lower court seems to concede that these are closely related cases. And United States versus Lacey, which Bakunin relies upon, says, in fact, that co-actors are and they list that as an example of closely related cases. This case is a closely related case because it's the exact same criminal enterprise. It's identical. And the two people, again, factually very similar to United States versus Lacey, where you have a sexual offense and two co-actors in that offense.
So really, it's not all this the other things that are going on in this case. It's simply based on the precedent of this court that says co-actors equals closely related.
In that one case, it said that, yes, Your Honor. And I believe that the two touch points where the analysis in closely related cases occurs is in the criminal enterprise and then in the outcome. There is no case or no authority that we were able to locate where there was an analysis on forum or charges or strategy, any of those sorts of things. I believe those go more to the third prong of the analysis that's reserved for the Courts of Criminal Appeals. Walking through that, so sentence appropriateness is done by the Service Courts of Criminal Appeals, and the general rule that applies to all of those appropriateness evaluations is to ensure that is done without consideration of other convictions. It's done based on the whether or not the sentence is correct in law and fact based on the circumstances of that case without looking at other cases. There is one well-settled exception to that rule, and that is in closely related cases. The companion case, the outcome, must be considered in order to determine whether the sentence in the instant case is appropriate. So those are and that's what gets us here. And again, that's the Article 66D1 that is obligatory, it's mandatory, it's required. In closely related cases, consideration of that other sentence is also required.
So how far does that stretch? So here we have two separate sovereigns, right? We've got a state and we've got the federal government, so we have separate offenses. All of the double jeopardy analysis from the Supreme Court would apply. I take it your argument is that doesn't matter, at least for our purposes. For the military conviction, we consider the other state conviction to be a closely related offense. What if this had happened in Japan And the Japanese civilian had been tried in Japanese court, and you have an American service member court-martialed. Is that still closely related? I mean, it seems like you're saying it only matters about the events, right, the facts of the case, and the fact that these are separate forms and separate sovereigns, different offenses, doesn't matter. Would it stretch that far, then?
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe that it would. And it's not that those facts don't matter. It's just that they're not considered at the initiation. It's not a trigger that doesn't matter for the purposes of going through the analysis. All of those things, all of those factors and considerations, cultural, forum, charges, all of the tools that are available in one form or another, those are all considered, but they're just considered at the end when the government, the burden would shift to the government to explain the rational basis between the disparity. So they are accounted for. They're just not accounted for to tell the court whether or not they have to do the analysis. And that's our point. The three narrow issues of law in a closely related case that are to be considered at the courts of criminal appeals are whether the cases are closely related, whether there's a disparity in the two sentences, and then whether or not then there's a burden shift to the government to explain whether there's a rational basis that would explain the disparity. In this case, it's unusual, and we think the error is that the court basically refused to do any of the analysis because it was a civilian case. And they did so, we think, in improper reliance on the absence of a requirement in the statute and then some conditional language in Suffen and Behunin. But the way that conditional language was applied essentially swallows the entire appropriateness review. If the court can look downstream and say, hey, well, that's a civilian conviction, we don't have to do any of this review, then it undercuts all of it. Our point is that the error in this case was that the court didn't go through the analysis. They had to do that because they have an obligation to consider the appropriateness of the sentence. It was a closely related case. They had to compare sentences. Then they should have shifted the burden to the government to explain the disparity. And there could be answers as to explain the disparity, of course. But again, none of those steps happened at the lower court. This court is empowered to review those decisions and look for an abuse of discretion or manifest injustice. We believe this abuse of discretion in this case happened when the court declined to do any analysis. They mentioned their obligation in a closely related case, but did not go so far as to say that this was a closely related case. And we think that that's threshold analysis that they should have done. Again, with the facts being so close to United States versus Lacey and indeed in Suffen, when that same court did that and went through the analysis, the lower court in this case was required to do the same thing. We think that looking at the two issues that this court would review the lower court's decisions, the abuse of discretion and the manifest injustice, the abuse of discretion would be them declining to do any analysis. The manifest injustice is a little trickier to determine because there's no analysis. This is not a case like Lacey or Suffen or Behunin where this court is looking at how they considered the three narrow questions of law that they're required to look at because they didn't look at any of them, which is why we think the correct answer or the correct response for this court is to remand it back to the Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals for consideration.
Please, go ahead.
On the remand, do we ask the CCA to determine both whether they are closely related cases, or do we make that determination and then just say, we've decided they're closely related, now you weigh them?
So looking strictly at what that court's obligations are, I think at a minimum it needs to go back and say you need to determine formally consider whether these are closely related cases or not. To your point, if they find that they're not closely related, then they would not be obligated to go further, but they would at least have to.
Could this court find that they're closely related?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe that those three narrow questions of law are reserved for the service courts of criminal appeals, and the review at this level is for abuse of discretion and manifest injustice. In previous examples, this court has taken a look at those factors, but those are all cases where the lower court has made a decision, has decided something, and then there's something to review. In this case, that didn't happen.
So your point when it comes to if we get to that point where there's a remand, you're not saying that in all cases thinking of the Durant precedent, that this court could not make a determination. You're saying under the facts of this specific case, it is appropriate for us to remand rather than have this court make the decision.
I believe so, yes, Your Honor. So
And can you flesh that out a little bit more about what prompts your response that way?
Yes, Your Honor. So this court would need to send it back so that the court, the Navy and Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals could walk through the analysis that's required to be considered at that level. Again, our position is that it's not discretionary at all, and they have to look at that. Forgive me if I didn't answer your question.
Well, I'm just saying in those instances where you're saying that this court does not, on that predicate issue of whether it's closely related, we don't even reach that. We just send it back?
I believe there's already precedent that answers that question. This court has already spoken and defined what closely related cases are. I don't believe that this court needs to do more than affirm that its precedent and the statute means exactly what it says. It says that these considerations are not optional for the lower court. They have to answer these questions, and it should be sent back so that they can answer those questions. We also believe that this case is a good candidate for review on demand just due to the facts of the circumstance, and it gets to, again, the lower court did not do did not conduct any kind of analysis as to the rational basis or why there was such a disparity, but we believe that there is a disparity. Mr. Simmons was sentenced to 0 months. The appellant in this case was sentenced to 54 months. That's a disparity that should be explained. We believe that the facts of this case, that Mr. Simmons was pretty clearly the lead architect of the criminal enterprise, and he was the one who was most involved, arguably, but for his participation, none of this would have even happened. That was his level of involvement in the case, and so to see the extreme disparity and relative to their involvement in the case, we believe that should be explained. And again, that gets to the manifest injustice that this court and the prejudice as well to Lance Corporal Swisher.
Mr. Griffin, let's say, for instance, we agree that the case ought to be remanded for the single question of whether or not the CCA has to do this review. You say they didn't do it. They at least have to do it. They might decide against you after they've done it, right? What would be your argument to them about the sentence disparity? I mean, would you be saying, look, because of the disparity here, my client ought to get no more than what the civilian co-actor got? Or would you be arguing, take into consideration my client's role and his sentence should be simply less than what it is? What would you be arguing, you think? And you may not be arguing, but I'm assuming you would be.
No, Your Honor, it's a great question, and I would argue, you know, at the outset that Lance Corporal Swisher is entitled to relief. He is entitled to some relief. Again, that would follow the burden shift to the government to explain the rational basis for the disparity. As far as the same sentence, there are some factors in there that would probably get considered. I don't know that I would be arguing for the same sentence, but I would definitely be arguing for a reduction, mm-hmm. and that there's enough facts in this case that it would that would be justified on these.
I understand. Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. Again, we are not asking this court to create new precedent or issue new law or rewrite anything. We're just asking for this court to affirm that the precedent and the statutes mean what it says. You have two courts who have looked at Article 66 and essentially come to two different conclusions based on the absence of absence of the language. The Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals in Suffern back in 2000 said, well, there's no language prohibiting us from looking at it because it's a civilian case, so we're going to go ahead and do it. This court in this case said, well, there's no language making us do it, so we're not going to do it. This court in the precedent has said the fact that we're talking about a civilian conviction just doesn't matter. It does not stop the analysis. It can certainly be considered. It can be taken into account. There's plenty of opportunities for the government to weigh in, but it does not stop the analysis, because if it did, it would swallow obligatory parts of the process. And for that reason, we're asking this court to remand the case to the Navy and Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals.
Any questions from the bench? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Major White.
Good morning, Chief Judge Olson, members of the court. May it please the court. I am Major Candace White, and along with Colonel Joseph Jennings, represent the United States. This court should affirm for three reasons. The CCA is not required to conduct sentence comparison with a civilian case. Two, appellant and Mr. Simmons face different charges under a different sovereign before a different fact finder, and therefore their cases could not be closely related. And three, the CCA did not abuse its discretion or create an obvious miscarriage of justice in affirming appellant's sentence as it was appropriate for the offenses that he was convicted of. The lower court applied the appropriate standard, which was de novo review in looking at its sentence appropriateness review. On looking at the lower court's decision, this court reviews for abuse of discretion or if that court committed an obvious miscarriage of justice. Under the case law, specifically Ballard, Bohunin, Southern, and his progeny, the CCA is allowed to, but not required, to conduct a sentence appropriateness, a sentence comparison review with a civilian case.
But what about co-actors equals closely related? And you, on page 23 of your brief, say they were co-actors. So why doesn't that mean they're closely related and under our precedent means the NMCCA had to do this analysis?
Yes, Your Honor. And in looking at co-actors, that's one factor to be considered. And there is a bit of a conflict, especially in looking at Southern versus Bohunin. Southern's the one case where we do see comparison of a civilian-military case. But this court found that, one, it was not required. It was permissible under the CCA's discretion. But it did look and consider, as it did in Bohunin, that it's not just the actus reus of the offenses. It's also the prosecutorial process. So it looks at the forum. It looks at the fact finder. It looks at whether there was a bargain for a pretrial agreement. Those are all relevant considerations in determining not just if there's good reason for disparity, but also, in general, why they may or may not be closely related. And
understanding all those points, but do you dispute the fact that under a precedent, co-actors equals closely related?
No, Your Honor. And if you look at Bohunin created the bookends, figurative bookends, with Watcha and Lacey. And Watcha is on the far end. And even though those were co-actors on some of the offenses, they didn't all overlap. And so the CCA was within its discretion to not conduct a sentence comparison in that case. And in Watcha, if some of the offenses not overlapping was sufficient to make them closely related, then this case would be even to the left of that bookend because none of the offenses were the same. Mr. Simmons was tried under state law and appellant was tried under the Code of Military Justice. Mr. Simmons agreed to accept responsibility and participate with the prosecution, so he received the benefit of a bargain for agreement. And so if Bohunin is setting the figurative Lacey watch a bookend standard, this case at a minimum falls within that scale, but more likely than not falls outside of that scale due to the fact that it was a civilian and a military offender.
But why aren't the factors you're citing now really go to the rational basis for the disparity of the case rather than the legal issue of whether the NMCCA had to engage in that analysis to begin with?
Yes, Your Honor. We understand appellate's argument that if these go to closely related instead of the third prong, it kind of swallows the test. But we disagree because a case isn't just the actus reus. It's also the case as a whole, as Chief Judge, you yourself pointed out earlier. It's the whole case. And that looks at the overall acts, the treatment of the case, the individual's participation or lack of participation. So while those there is some overlap in the first and third prong, i.e. whether they're closely related and or if there's a rational basis for the disparity, they are still distinct because those factors can be used in both of those ways for both of those analyses.
Counsel, what exactly is the position of the government? It seems that position of appellant is we just need to have the CCA make a determination, are these closely related or are they not closely related? The government seems to be saying we should decide that they're not closely related. And I guess part of that argument is you're saying that civilian and military are never closely related, or they could be a determination that they're maybe I should have you give your words on that. What is your response to the appellant's argument that all appellant's asking for is a determination by the CCA of whether these are closely related?
Yes, Your Honor. First, the government's position is not that civilian military cases can never be closely related, but in looking at this case, which is what we're here for, they were not closely related. And
the CCA didn't find that, so you're asking us to find that.
Two points to that, Your Honor. One, we believe that under Durant and Lacey, this court could find cases closely related. That's the first legal question that this court is permitted to resolve. But we do believe that the CCA, maybe not in so many words, but did find that the cases were not closely related. If you look at Joint Appendix page 17, the lower court specifically said they declined to compare the case for an analysis of appropriateness because his, meaning Mr. Simmons' case, was for different crimes and was adjudicated by a civilian jurisdiction. So in so saying, they do look at the distinctions, and in footnote 73, the CCA makes it clear that it considers the correct cases of Southern and Bahunin, and that those cases give the CCA discretion to find or not find a civilian case closely related. So it's the government's position that the CCA did consider it and found them not to be closely related, but if this court disagrees under Durant and Lacey, this court could reach that legal question on its review.
Because you cited the first two sentences of that paragraph on page 17, but the next sentence says, we're unaware of any precedent that requires us to find parity between a military court-martial sentence and a sentence awarded by a state or local jurisdiction. That sounds more like we don't have to determine whether they're closely related cases. I mean, maybe it doesn't, but that kind of sounds like what they're saying.
That's a permissible reading, Your Honor. We agree that the opinion's not entirely clear. But if you look at the Article 66 authority, sentence comparison is only one aspect of sentence appropriateness review. And looking at the sentence appropriateness review as a whole, especially in light of considering Southern, the one case that does compare civilian and military court, this court found that even if the CCA exercises its discretion and does a sentence comparison, with a civilian case, it's less convincing because of the very different reasons for both sentencing and punishment in the military courts versus in civilian courts. Under Washington, the CCA has a highly discretionary sentence review function. And again, Your Honors, the sentence comparison is only one aspect of sentence appropriateness review. Extending the logic of Bahunin, since a civilian comparison cannot, by definition, meet all the same factors that are present in Lacey, there will always be a different forum at a minimum. And it's almost never going to be an abuse of discretion for a CCA to decline to do sentence comparison with a civilian case. And in this case, in particular, it was not abuse of discretion, nor was it a miscarriage of justice. Looking at the actual cases, appellant went to a contested trial. He was found guilty, and he was convicted to 54 months confinement. Mr. Simmons, actually, after pleading guilty, entering into a bargain for a plea agreement, he received 5 months suspended sentence, 5 years, which is actually 6 months longer than appellant received. He did receive 3 years probation, and he participated in the prosecution of appellant. So in looking at the factors of whether or not they are closely related, specifically under Washington, Lacey, and Bohunin. The cases were not closely related, and even if this court does find that they were closely related, the sentences were not highly disparate. And if this court disagrees that they were highly disparate, there was many cogent reasons in the record of trial to justify that disparity.
Major White, I gather then that in sum, the government's position is, well, let me say this first. The appellant's position seems to be, as I understand it, that all of the closely related reasons posited by the court are all for the sentence disparity analysis later on, and that the only thing that should trigger the initial review, the initial decision to review and include in their appropriate analysis in a case like this is the fact that they are co-actors. So I gather you disagree with that. Because it seems like what the CCA was doing here was that even if they didn't have a long-winded and detailed analysis saying that, hey, look, we've looked at these factors for closely relatedness and determined we don't have to engage in an appropriate, include this in our appropriateness review. Is that the government's position, or is the government saying something else? In other words, what is the government's position as to what triggers the decision by the CCA to conduct a closely related co-actor review into their appropriateness review?
Yes, Your Honor. The government's position is that the closely related is not referring only to the actus reus of the case. It is referring to the case in total, which may include discretionary prosecution decisions.
So is that the basic difference between you and Mr. Griffin then, is that he thinks that you don't get to those elements, so to speak, until after the court has decided it's going to do its comparative review?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And then he can speak for himself. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he can speak for himself. But that's how I understand the schism, shall we say, between you and him.
Yes, Your Honor. That would be an accurate depiction.
All right.
And on that note, Your Honor, we would emphasize that it's not just that cases must be closely related. If the sentences are to be compared, they must be not only closely related, but the sentences must be highly disparate, and it must be the only way to determine if the interests of justice are affected. So, and if I can...
Well, that brings up another question to my mind. You're right with the language that, hey, look, it's not just that they're closely related. It's got to be if that's the only way they can conduct their appropriateness review. But what does that mean, the only way? This question just occurred to me, so I expect it may not have occurred to you either, but...
The case law is not really clear, Your Honor, and I think while the case law is a bit sparse on this issue, and there's a large gap in time, Bohunin is the first time that this court has visited this mm-hmm. issue since 2001, and there's kind of a leap. If you look at Ballard early on, it was entirely discretionary, and then Southern kind of expands it a little bit, but even when the CCA considered the civilian case, this court affirmed that it was within its discretion, and a civilian case is less compelling when it comes to a comparison analysis. And then you move to Watcha, Lacey, and finally Bohunin. So there is a little bit of a maybe lack of clarity given that spread of cases, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, looking at what the standard is, one, the CCA has broad discretion. That's been firmly established.
Broad discretion to conduct the review or not conduct the review of comparative cases in their appropriateness review?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And the one factor that's pretty consistent throughout that line of cases is that this court does not disturb the CCA's discretionary findings unless it is an abuse of discretion or an obvious miscarriage of justice. And if you go back to, while it's an Eighth Amendment issue and not a sentence appropriateness review, Harris, which is cited by this court in Ballard, is informative because sentence appropriateness review really is the sentence appropriate for the offenses committed and convicted of in that case. And the Ballard court rejected appellant's argument that his sentence was inappropriate in comparison to other individuals because, as the Supreme Court found in Harris, the appellant in that case is sentence was appropriate for the crimes he committed, and that's what the real issue is the sentence appropriate for that individual's crimes. So just as in Harris, just as in Ballard, and even in Southern, which did do the case comparison, this appellant's offenses are justify this appellant's punishment. And in affirming that sentence, the CCA did not abuse its discretion and did not create an obvious miscarriage of justice. Therefore, this court should affirm, and if this court disagrees, the appropriate remedy would be to remand the case for the CCA to exercise its Article 66 discretionary review. Pending any further questions, Your Honor?
Seeing none, thank you, Major White. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Excuse me, Mr. Griffin. I was speaking for you, and I don't want to do that, so please clear up any misquotes or misunderstanding I may have had regarding your position.
Thank you, Your Honor. I know you did a fantastic job.
And I'll pay you off when we get up there.
Yes, sir. So my colleague spent most of her time discussing basically providing you a rational basis to explain the disparity between the sentences, which I would argue cries out for the need for a more full-throated review and a more deliberative opportunity for appellant to raise his arguments and the government to raise theirs. There's a reason we have this process, and it was shortcutted here, and I think to the prejudice of my client. He's entitled to that review. It should have been done. This case is unique, and I would distinguish this court's involvement in Southern, Bahuna, and all the cases that we've been talking about, because in this case, the NMCCA didn't give you anything. There's just no analysis to review. They said, we're not going to do it. In their footnote, and you can find this at the Joint Appendix at 17, it says, they're discussing the proposition that we are required to compare a court-martial sentence with a sentence awarded by a state or local jurisdiction in closely related cases. It sounds like they believe that this case was closely related, but they did exactly what we believe this court should correct, is they took that downstream conditional language and then applied it retroactively to swallow the entire appropriateness review. And I would maybe agree with the government that they didn't have to do a whole lot. This court has routinely given broad discretion to that court to conduct its appropriateness review, but they had to do something. They had to, you know, at least walk through. The one thing they couldn't do under the law and the precedent from this court is refuse to do anything. And so I think that that's what needs to be corrected in this case. For those reasons, we believe it should. I just ran out of time, Your Honor. May I finish?
Please.
We just ask that that case be remanded so that the Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals can conduct their review.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Case is now submitted. The court thanks counsel for both sides, and the court will stand adjourned until further order of the court.
All rise. Court stands adjourned until further order of the court.